So a very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 11th of June, 2019, Tuesday class. So we will now compose our mind, develop the Satta Virya, and mindfully we shall commence the Puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Quan Si Ying Pusa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pusa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pusa. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu michachara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Surameraya japamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang Ganna sambarayutena Dopenahang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyantang Puja bacanamutamang Vanna ganda gunopetang Etang kasumasantatin Pujayami munindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kasumenanena Punnena matena cha hotumokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati inasabhavang Adibasetu no bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adibasetu no bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adibasetu no bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, then sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Jam. Buddhaṃ pujami. Dhammaṃ pujami. Sanghaṃ pujami. Okay. You all can be seated. and we will off the light, and you can have half an hour of silent awareness meditation. I will set the alarm. Always remember the four support. Whatever mind state arise, relax into it. Then maintain awareness, just aware, don't do anything. Even if there is still some form of thinking or thought arising, let it be. It will slow down, it will settle down. So what your mind need to do is just maintain awareness. It can be aware of whatever that arises within your forming mind. Because we have our senses, the five physical senses, plus the brain, so our sixth sense. So every time upon contact, the mind can detect things. So you just aware, finish, then return to the awareness. If you have a meditation object, you can stay there. Then from there you aware inside, aware of outside. So when there is awareness, it's very easy. Then you can see many things. The silent mind is the meditative mind. And after a while, the mind will settle down and become very quiet, very still. Then the whole thing fall into place, like there is no more thinking. No more thought. Then your awareness shine forth. Then you can realize your true mind, your silent mind. And that is the beginning of real meditation. When you can experience that, is already good progress. What you need to do is stabilize it. Maintain the silence for as long as you can. But initially, there will still be awareness around because you have the senses. So whatever arise, just aware. At the mind base there, your heart there, just aware from there. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. You want to perceive, you perceive. But don't allow it to proliferate or continue the thinking. Just develop the ability to be aware, finish, aware, finish. Then when you meditate, it's just aware, 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 whatever that arises. Even the sensation between your hand, when you put it on your cross-legged lap, the contact there, whatever tactile consciousness arises, just aware, finish. Then between the cushion and your buttock also same. If there is tactile consciousness, just aware. Then if there is any tension or tightness or what, just relax into it. Relax into it and silent. When you can do that, your mind settle down very fast. Okay. So for those who already know how to meditate, you just relax, then silent your mind. Then allow the silent mind to develop the meditation and the understanding. Those who still need to train the mind, because it's still heedless or think a lot, or you cannot settle down, you don't worry about it. Don't panic or do anything. When you don't do anything, it will settle down. So you just accept the reality of the moment, and you will find that your mind is very peaceful, very quiet, very conducive for meditation. When you can accept whatever that arises, peacefully, you are beautiful. Then after that, you learn to relax into every mind state. Whatever arises, relax into it. Then just maintain the quietness, the silence. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own. Then when the alarm ring, I will ring the bell. Then you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities all devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Suvanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Suvanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Suvanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidam chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo, Pahuneyo, Dakkeneyo, Anjali Karaneyo, Anutaram Punyaketam Lokasati. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Paja. Matang Paja. Damang Paja. Sanghang Paja. you can be seated, then we can start our Dharma sharing. Yeah? We will continue from where we stopped. We are at chapter 31, yeah? Page 473, yeah? The Buddha and his teaching. The title is quite interesting, Karmic Descent and Karmic Ascent. Yeah? Okay, yeah. Chapter 31, Karmic Descent and Karmic Ascent. Under Majjhika Nikaya, there is a sentence that relates to karma. The Buddha said, karma differentiates beings into high and low state. So here, karmic descent means your birth become worse than what you are. Like, let's say now you are a human being, huh? And after this life you don't take care of karma, you don't develop the ability to develop the understanding for good birth or higher birth, you may take birth in other realm which are lower than the human realm. Yeah. So below the human realm, as we know, we got the four woeful rhyme. The first one is the demon rhyme. So if you are born there, it's a descent. Then there is also what they call the animal rhyme. That one also one of the four woeful state. Then below the animal rhyme, that one is the Peta rhyme. Peta rhyme are like hungry ghosts, wandering ghosts. These beings are quite miserable, because their rhyme is not the same as ours. They don't have like occupation, job, or farmland, or neither is there merchandise for you to do business, butter trade or whatever. Not like our human rhyme, human society. So there, you cannot receive any merits or payment in any kind, except you have to wait for people who are related to you to transfer merit to you. Otherwise, you will be quite miserable down there. That's why they call the hungry ghost, always hungry. And also wandering ghosts, wander around. But the worst is Apaya. The last rhyme is Apaya rhyme. They call it the hell rhyme. And there are a lot of hell down here, depending on what coming offense you go through. That day, I think the previous Sunday, some of us, Akayalimita, went to Sister Joy's house, remember? We watched that show. What's the title already? Along with the Gods. That Korean show. Quite interesting, it's based on a Buddhist sutta. So it talk about the death process, then how when you die, you had to go through all those like trials and judgment. And down there, that person who died was a fireman. He also have a tough life. He suffered a lot. Then he also did some mistake. But later on, when he determined to help the parent, the brother, the mother, he worked very hard, not enough rest. And as a fireman, you help a lot of people. So because of those parami, it helped him. Then when they down there, it seems you have this guardian angel who will help him to fight the case or represent him to defend him for the trial and all those things. Then you have to meet various type of hell. There is this god of murderer. He will murder people. He will be trialed by him. Then there is a god for laziness, also indolence. Then there is also god for don't know what. There are a lot of hell there, deceitfulness or whatever. A lot of these things. But according to the Mahayana tradition, they say hell got 18. 18 rhyme. Sapachang Teyok. You heard of that, isn't it? 18 hell rhyme. I remember last time in Singapore, Haw Par Villa. Those who have been to Haw Par Villa during the early 80s, they have this 18 rhyme drawn out. And they really make it into painting. So I still remember when I was there. I went there with my wife, my children, and my father, and I think one or two of my brothers and sisters. So a lot of people there panic. I don't want to fall into hell, because they depict with all those pictures. I think mural. They like do it up in the wall of the mural. They got this wok, very big wok. You use it to cook food. They put hot boiling oil inside there, then they fry the hell beings inside. And they draw until fry until with the bone left. So a lot of this thing, there's some torturing on. Then you commit adultery, also got one kind of torture. Then you lie, also one kind of torture. Then delusion, also a lot of various type of torture. If you create a lot of fear, cause suffering, misery to people, then they will punish you accordingly until you are full of fear, worry, anxiety, horror, sorrow, lamentation, and you really suffer. And according to the Jataka story, I think there was one Jataka story about the Bodhisattva himself. There was one life, he was born a prince. Then the mother was a deva, actually. The mother knew if he grew up as a king and inherited the throne, he would have to go down to hell again. You know, as a king, you give command, instruction for war and all those things. So actually, he just came out from hell, and he was down there for 60,000 lives. That is how long he actually went out there. Then he has to pretend that he is a useless son. He like pretend he cannot like be normal. Then act like very stupid, Down syndrome and all those things. Then like okay you like that. So he thought because of that, the father will not make him a prince and will not let him inherit the throne. But the father don't believe. Keep on testing, trying all sorts of methods and ways. But finally, couldn't. So got no choice. The king decided to send him far away. Then when he was sent off the palace, he actually went to the forest and meditated, and he became enlightened. Then later only the father came to know. Then he relate this story. He said, I know what hell is like. I don't want to experience it again. So as human being, if you reflect and contemplate on this beautiful story, Jataka story, then you will know why you have to take care of karma. And to do it is very simple. Follow the advice of the Buddha. Okay, now we will go into the chapter 31 proper. We see what the author write. The first line is karmic descent possible? So what do you think? Do you believe you can be born in a lower rank? What do you think? Possible or not? Definitely possible, unless you are confident. You have the cultivation, then you say don't worry. So here, what they mean is, you say, in other words, can a man be born as an animal? From the human realm, you go down to the animal realm. The Buddhist answer may not be acceptable to all, for Buddhism does recognize this possibility. So a lot of people say, cannot be, I'm a human being. How can I be next life born as a lizard or born as a rat or a fish? And what is it? Oh, that one don't record. They want to go to heaven for different reasons. They're looking forward to that one. I think they also got their precept, isn't it? They got their precept and yet they crave to go there for that thing. I don't know what type of precept they give. Okay, we read on. Material form through which the life continuum expresses itself are merely temporary visible manifestation of karmic energy. This is very good. Manifestation of karmic energy. You know, our form and mind, this material form, manifestation of karmic energy, because this is karmically conditional as a vehicle and tool for us to come to this existential world, to live life, to go through life, to pay back the karma. You don't have the wisdom and understanding, then of course to cultivate and to do what you want. So that aspect of karma is very important. Then sometimes you also, if you can recall, you heard me saying, our physical body is actually the external manifestation of mind. Do you understand? Whether you're happy or not happy, all manifested on your face. Then whatever you want to do, your cunningness, your deceitfulness, your whatever adventure, passion, you have to use your physical body to manifest it, isn't it? So that's why I always use this word. Our physical body is external manifestation of what the mind wants to do. Because without this physical form, it really limited, it can't do much. That's why when it comes to non-human, even ghosts or whatever non-humans, can be demons or whatever, they actually is limited in the sense that they don't have a gross physical body. Do you understand? They cannot do anything to you actually. But they got one thing. They got energy. When you have fear, when you worry, you have anxiety, then they can attack you. They can intensify your fear. They can make you feel miserable. Because they can, through their anger, you remember that show Along with the God? That the brother, you remember? He died as a vengeful ghost. And they tried to catch him. They cannot catch him. He was so powerful. Every time he got angry, I tell you, it create tornado and all those things. Then at one time, the guardian deva, he actually managed to catch him with the spiritual rope, tie him up already. so he couldn't move. But then he saw that guy that actually buried him alive. Then the mother came, because the mother received message from his friend that the son died miserable there. So the mother came, want to file the complaint. Then this guy actually abused the mother and attacked the mother. No, that's why he become very angry. He was very angry. He burst the rope, the spiritual rope. Then he created a tornado and havoc. That's why this type of being, they don't have a physical body. Yeah. But that show different. He show he has a physical body. But then it also show that people cannot see him. Actually, you don't have a physical body already. That's why people cannot hear him, cannot see him after he died. But he still didn't know he died. He still think he was alive initially. So that one is actually quite correct. But they have to make it into a film show. So that's why they create a form for him, so that you can recognize that it's him. So these are the external manifestation of mind. So here the author also rightfully explained, material form through which the life continuum expresses itself are merely temporary visible manifestation of the karmic energy. The present physical body is not directly evolved from the past physical body. This is correct. But it's the successor of this past form, being linked with it through the same stream of karmic energy. They call it the life continuum or life stream. Means that Bhavanga, life continuum, the continuous flow of Bhavanga, life continuum, it will continue to flow. So when you are unconscious, your life force is actually still there. The life continuum is still flowing through, but there is no conscious moment. The conscious moment can only happen when you have the senses. Then the sense impression imprints upon the life continuum. Then it's like the wave, jump. Then it becomes conscious. A good example is when you sleep. When you sleep, you go into deep sleep, you go into like almost unconscious. But most of the time you are subconscious. Until you really fall into the unconscious state. And sometimes the subconscious, there is subconscious release. You can have phobia, you can have dream, you can have all those things. These are the subconscious release. So all these are possible if you understand. Then like when you are asleep, suddenly there's a loud noise or somebody call you or somebody shake you through tactile consciousness. Then you suddenly become conscious. Then you like groggy. What happened? Why you wake me up? Or if you perceive through your hearing consciousness, then you wake up. If you are like a person with awareness and you sleep very light sleep, you actually can wake up. You are very sensitive. Then you know something happened. That's why you will come out of the bed and you will go and check and find out. So all these are possible because our life stream that goes into the subconscious and the unconscious can be made conscious again through sense door impringement. That's why they describe it in the Abhidhamma teaching. 16 thought moment. But these thought moments are very fast. They go through very fast. So they got the impringing thought moment. Then sense door. There's a lot of description. Earlier on we went through. Then there is also the Javana. Javana means determining thought moment. The seventh Javana, where you make the intention. So that intention goes in. Okay, we read on. Just as an electric current can be manifested in the form of light, heat, and motion successively, one not necessarily being evolved from the other. So this karmic energy may manifest itself in the form of a deva, a human being, an animal, or other beings. One form having no physical connection with the other. It is one's karma that determines the nature of one's material form, which varies according to the skillfulness and unskillfulness of one's past action. And this again depends entirely on the evolution of one's understanding of reality, means the wisdom part. Instead of saying that human being become an animal or vice versa, it should be more correct to say that the karmic force which manifests itself in the form of a human being may manifest itself in the form of an animal too. So this is what rebirth is all about. In the course of our wandering in samsara, to speak in conventional terms, we gather various experiences, receive manifold impressions, acquire diverse characteristics. Our very thought, words, or deeds is indelibly recorded in the this word, how to pronounce? Palimpsest. Anybody know the meaning? Palimpsest, like mine. Anyway, no need to know, not important. The different nature we thus acquire in the course of such successive birth, whether as a man or human being or devas, animal or petas, lies dormant within us, and as long as we are whirlings, means putujana, not enlightened, this undestroyed nature may, at unexpected moment, rise to the surface in disconcerting strength, and reveal our latest karmic tendency. That's like your death moment, when you die. Your karmic tendency is very, very powerful. They will override other things. It is quite natural for us to remark, after witnessing an unexpected outburst of passion in a highly cultured person, how could he have done such a thing? Who would have thought that he would commit such an act? There is nothing strange in this misdemeanor of his. It is just a revelation of a hidden part of his intricate, they use the word self is not correct, the karmic nature should be. This is the reason why men, normally of lofty motive, are sometimes tempted to do things which one would least expect of them. Then he gave example, Devadatta, for example, a noble prince of birth, a leading member of the holy order, was possessed by supernatural power, means psychic. Where he go and attach to psychic, develop psychic. Overcome by jealousy latent in him, he makes several attempts to kill his own master, the Buddha. Such is the intricate nature of man. One's immediate past is not always a true index to one's immediate future. Every moment we create fresh karma. In one sense, we are truly what we were, and we will be what we are. In another sense, we are not absolutely what we were, and we will not be what we are. Who was yesterday a criminal may today become a saint, like Angulimala, who today is holy may tomorrow turn out to be a wretch sinner. We can safely and rightly be judged by this eternal present. Today we sow the seed of future. At this very moment, we may act the part of a brute and create our own hell, or on the other hand, act the part of a superman and create our own heaven. Each present thought moment conditions the next thought moment. The subsequent birth also, according to Buddhist philosophy, is determined by the last thought moment we experience in this life. Just as through the course of one's life, each thought perishes, give up all the potentialities to its successor. Even so, the last thought process of this life ends, transmitting all its acquired characteristics and nature to the succeeding moment, namely the first thought moment, Patisandhi Vijnanam, means the rebirth consciousness in the subsequent birth. Now, if the dying person cherishes a base desire or idea, or experience a thought, or does an act which befit an animal, his evil karma will condition him to birth in animal form. The karmic force which manifests itself in the form of a human being will manifest itself in the form of a... The karmic force which manifests itself in the form of a man or human being will manifest itself in the form of an animal, which means you take animal birth. This does not imply that thereby all his past good karmic tendencies are lost. They too lie dormant, seeking an opportunity to rise to the surface. It is such a good karma that will later effect birth as a human being. The last thought moment does not, as a rule, depend on the sum total of our action in our lifetime. Generally speaking, a good person gets a good birth, and a bad person, a bad birth, or a bad one. Under exceptional circumstances, however, the unexpected may happen. Queen Malika, for example, lived a good life, but as a result of experiencing an evil thought at her dying moment, she was born in the state of wool. As her good karma was powerful, the expulsion lasted only for a few days. So the question is this justifiable, one might ask. If a holy person, due to some provocation, were to commit a murder, he would be charged as a murderer. His past good action would no doubt stand to his credit and have their due effect, but the brutal act could not be obliterated by his good past. Perhaps his past good record would tend to mitigate the sentence, but never could it acquit him altogether of his heinous crime. This unexpected event would compel him to live in an uncongenial atmosphere among similar criminals. Is this fair? Imagine how one single immortal act may degrade a noble man. Immoral act may degrade a noble man. On one occasion, two ascetic, Punya and Saniya, who were practicing ox asceticism and dog asceticism, came to the Buddha and questioned him as to their future destiny. This one should be quite interesting. The Buddha replied, "In this world, a certain person cultivates thoroughly and constantly the practice, habit, mentality, and manner of a dog. He, having cultivated the canis practice, habit, mentality, and manner thoroughly and constantly, upon the breaking up of the body after death, will be reborn among the dogs. Certainly, if he holds such a belief as this, by virtue of his practice, austerity, or noble life, I shall become a god or a deity of some kind. That is a false belief of his. For one who holds a false belief, I declare that there is one of the two future states, the state of the man or the animal kingdom. Thus failing a state of torment, successful carnage, asceticism, only deliver one to companionship with the dogs. In the same way, the Buddha declared that he who observed asceticism will after death be born among the ox. So this is something that during the time of the Buddha in India, a lot of this ascetic, you know what is ascetic, those who go for, but they got very funny views, so, because they were maybe conditioned by their master or teacher into believing asceticism, like what we call self-mortification. You make yourself if you mortify yourself, means they believe you try to finish off your bad karma, understand? Pay back everything. Then when you suffer long enough in that state, then you will become enlightened. Yeah? Or you will take birth as a devas or higher realm. So some, they say, you must behave like certain type of animal. Yeah? So they stand in the cold, the Himalayas, in that posture, behaving like those what they call animals, or those type of beings, thinking, believing that they will be born in the higher realm, the deva realm, and all say. Even Angulimala, the teacher told him, you can get 100 of this, you kill 1,000, sorry. Then all their finger tied together, they said the name Angulimala. Then you come and see him. He will teach him how to gain enlightenment and all those things. So these are the wrong practice. And during the time of the Buddha, there is a lot of such wrong practice. They call it asceticism, extreme type of practice. Okay, I read on this one. So there is a possibility for a karmic descent in one bound in the so-called evolutionary scale of being. But the contrary, a karmic ascent is also possible. Here they refer to only the birth as karmic ascent and karmic descent. But for me, there is another type of karmic ascent and karmic descent. If you may recall, during the Sunday class, I think, most of the time is at the Sunday class, if you are a real cultivator who have the understanding, even as Kaya Metta, you will know. The moment you follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, cultivate wholesomeness, then purify your mind through meditation and all those things, then you will come to understand that all this life, throughout this human life, most of the time, you would have cultivated a lot of wholesomeness. And these are conducive for karmic ascent. Means you know you will have good birth. At least come back to human right and continue your cultivation. Because the law of karma will support you. Then you meditate and you are able to connect to your true nature, you will develop your spiritual nature too. So your spiritual nature also will support you. So these two will make you different. So to me, karmic ascent means it's just like your cultivation all the way up. It's not like the game we play when we are young, snake and ladder. You reach the very top, near the home already, then there's a long snake waiting for you to come down. And you throw the dice and hit that one, you slide down all the way. So coming as end here means if you have cultivated correctly, you won't make such mistake. You won't fall back, understand? But if you don't have this understanding, then it's possible. Because like I always explained at the Sunday class, when we were doing the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. You see, when the Buddha Sasana is around, like this window, so you may have karmic essence, very good, very beautiful. But the moment the Buddha Sasana no more, what happened? You have not taken that format of the Bodhisattva vow that I have given you. You got no condition to have this understanding during the non-sasana. And I tell you, you will be like that long snake fall back all the way. Then sometimes you can be miserable for quite long before you, maybe some good karmic condition, your good karmic inheritance, give you back some good condition to have better birth. Then because non-sasana don't have the teaching, nothing, you again become heedless, then you fall again. Then during that time, non-sasana, chances is you accumulate more heedless evil deed. That's why all of your karmic nature will start to decline again. Your life after life, you didn't really cultivate wholesomeness. You didn't develop wisdom and all those things. But most of the time, you become heedless. That's why it's like up and down, up and down. And most living beings, they fall. To me, most of them receive karmic descent. They will go down to hell, suffer for a long time. Then, after they exhausted, pay back a lot of this already, then they will have slightly better birth. Hungry ghost, pita. Then after that, animal rhyme. Then, if they continue not to make mistake, they can become demons or finally human being again. But if they don't meet the sasana, if they don't have good karmic roots, condition to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, to realize this teaching, it's very difficult for them to come back. That's the reason why you look at the human rhyme. A lot of this human rhyme birth, they still have a lot of heedlessness and delusion. Do you realize that? Very few human beings has the Dhamma or will look for Dhamma. So, from this aspect, that's why I reflected. I look at the world. It's not easy. Because during Buddha Sasana also like that. What happens when there is no Buddha Sasana? The world will be crazy. So you must have this great window of opportunity to help you make the affirmation, the determination, plant the seed of Bodhi. So that this Bodhi mind nurture, develop and shine forth. And pave the way for you to have all this understanding life after life whenever you choose to come or have to come. So that you don't have to, like, during non-sasana, get lost and don't know what is going on. So all these are very important understanding. So that's why when you can have the condition, you should do it. And you should go and listen to last Sunday talk. Very good. And Chin Hao just sent out the video. The video, is it the full video? Or full video? Or that one very good? Never mind. Because the first part is all on the Bodhisattva practices and vows. Because I took them through. I remember that section. When I did it that time, it was because the condition were all there. And at the retreat before we have that session, the special condition arise. Kuan Yin's nature came and helped those Kayamita there to have the condition, and my nature responded because I sense it. I knew condition were there. That's why I send that pure wish to those who are there, and even the non-humans and all those things. There was a lot of joy at that time. Then after that, I knew after that, I said the Kayamita force will be very different. It will move very fast after that, and really it take off. And the pace at which it gather momentum is very, very beautiful. Very beautiful. That's why now you realize the sharing, the teaching is all very different. Not to say the essence is different, the essence is the same, but within the 2 hour or 2 hour plus, we can cover almost the entire teaching. And it's like now very easy to understand. It's like a revision. And things are becoming clearer and clearer and easier for you to understand. Because unknowingly, your consciousness has actually arisen. You have the higher consciousness already. Otherwise, you cannot understand. I can tell you, the so-called Buddhists outside there can be 30 years, 40 years in meditation or retreat or whatever. There is no way they can understand a lot of the things you understand. Because that type of Dhamma is not available outside. And what they do is thought-based meditation most of the time. And they have a lot of theoretical Dhamma, intellectual Dhamma. They don't have the real Dhamma understanding. So because of that, you should actually thank your good karmic nature for the good condition that you have to encounter all this teaching and make full use of it. That's why develop the faith very strong, then sincerely make the aspiration, then diligently walk the way, take the vow. Then all of the right view that you must have, the essential Dhamma that you must develop. Follow that Bodhisattva vow, the yellow card. That one is very complete. It teaches you how to ask for forgiveness from Triple Gem, from all beings. Then create affinity with all the great beings. Then thank them. Express your gratitude towards what they have done for you, and request for their continuous blessing, protection and guidance life after life whenever you arise. Then also those important essential Dhamma, the three right views and all those things, the five aggregate of form and mind, the two aspects. Then the universal characteristic, rupang anicang, rupang anatta, continue vedana sanya sankara vinyanang, then sabbe sankara anicang, sabbe sankara dukang, sabbe dhamma anatta. So all these are very powerful and very important aspiration that you have to affirm. And when you do it with the faith, the understanding, the sincerity, then this will take root deep in your nature. Then it will bloom. It will nurture into a very beautiful Bodhi mind. So this Bodhi mind, whenever you arise, it will be there to trigger off understanding. He will pave the way for you to recall this teaching. Because this Bodhi mind is the one that wanted, aspire, wanted to walk this way, to fulfill all these vows, and to have all this right understanding. So it becomes part of nature's law. then it manifests itself. That's why the Bodhisattva know how to use all this. Yeah. Okay. We go on. Yeah? The ascent cycle. So more important is not what birth you take. Every birth, you continue to grow your cultivation. Understand? You continue to perfect yourself. You will not be heedless. If you take the Bodhisattva vow, you make the affirmation, you will never fall, and you will become very beautiful even before the next sasana. Then after the next sasana, your nature will be very, very different. Okay, page 478. When, for instance, an animal is about to die, it may experience a moral consciousness that will ripen into a human birth. This last thought process does not depend wholly on any action or thought of the animal, for generally speaking, its mind is dull, and it is incapable of doing any moral action. This one is not correct. This one, certain animal, they are very different. Today I saw a video, I show it to my wife. You know what that video show or not? There was a dog that went to the supermarket and they say steal thing, food stuff and all that. Then the owner who checked the video camera realized this dog every day come in and take this food then disappear. So they decided to find out what this dog do with the food. They follow him. You know what happened? The dog's master fallen sick on the sick bed alone. And this dog go and get this food for him. And he was immobile. So he got the food, he got the drink, everything. Then this dog later on, when they did the video, I think it was the second or third video. By then, actually, the owner died already. So the dog, when he bring the food back, he will normally use the tongue to lick the master's hand and remove the blanket or comforter and all those things. Then wake him up to eat. That day, the dog realized he doesn't respond. Then the dog went up. The dog was in tears. That's why that story was very touching. So here the author said, for generally speaking, its mind is dull, is incapable of doing any moral action, is wrong. That's how dog also can do that. And sometimes this dog, as pets, after the owner die, they know you bury the owner somewhere. The cemetery there, especially you put the photo and the engraving there, the dog will go there, that's not, and sometimes just sit beside that place because of their we call it, it's like philopiety. Then sometimes the dog also refuse to eat and die together with the owner because they have this attachment. So there are a lot of things that even animals also can do. In the Jataka story, I remember I read before, the Bodhisattva was born as a deer. And he was the leader of the herds. Then later on, don't know what happened. But that one, don't know whether how true is it, I don't know. But it must be true. Because recorded in the Jataka story, where I heard from Reverend Suwano. He said this leader of the herd, in order to save the herd, negotiated with the, I don't know whether with the king or the hunter or what, that his herd be saved, and he sacrificed. He died. He sacrificed. So there were a lot of this type of story. Then sometimes, if you look at animals, they have this animal instinct too. there are a lot of video. Sometimes the lion or the leopard or what, they actually help to feed the newborn. They normally hunt on the deer and all those things. But instead, they become very close to them. Sometimes cat and dog used to fight on. They also become very close. So they tend to have this, what they call, in the early day when I was young, I saw a stray dog. So I decided to feed him. I think he can sense me also. Then he followed me home. After that, he refused to leave me. So I told my mother, I said, okay, can we keep this dog? We kept that dog. And that dog was very good. He every time he can smell me and sense me from far. So that time I went to MU to study. After one term, about 4 months or what, 3 or 4 months, then only I came home. So I took a bus normally. Then the bus was stopped in front of my house, but my house is across the road, understand? So the bus actually stopped over the other side of the road. Then I need to walk about, I think at least 50 meters or so. 50 meters or so. This dog very funny. If other people come near my father's shop, he will bark like anything. And when I came back, he doesn't bark. And he knew it was me. Then I call up my parents. My parents also know. I send the letter when I'm coming back. So they waited for me. So they came up. They opened up the thing. This dog was wagging his tail all the way. Very, very happy. You can see the joy in him. Because I fed him. And I saved him from the... you call stray dogs. So they have this sense of... what you call it? Not filial piety. Gratefulness. Yeah, Yun Chan, thank you. This sense of gratefulness. They are very grateful. Because they are very simple. They are not cunning. And they appreciate whatever the master give to them. Or people who are kind to them. That's why their mind are simple. So, sometimes because of affinity, then they will actually express their gratitude or gratefulness. Then they will protect the owner. There have been many incidents where the dog protect the owner. Then they did a lot of good things. Then last time the TV show also got this Leslie. That dog, the big dog, but very smart dog. So you can see all this in the animal rhyme. So karma is not what the author thinks. I read on. This depends on some past good deed done during a former round of existence, which has long been prevented from producing its inevitable result. In its last moment, the animal therefore may conceive ideas or images which will cause a human birth. So this one is possible because sometimes you have this what they call very wholesome karma, but there was no condition for it to take fruition, so it will not arise. But when there is condition for it to take fruition, it will arise and allow that birth. So that is how it will happen. But not according to this author. This author has his own idea. Different. Okay, then we read on. Poussin, a French writer, illustrates this fact by the law of heredity. A man may be like his grandfather, but not like his father. The gene of disease has been introduced into the organism of an ancestor. For some generation, they remain dormant. But suddenly they manifest themselves in actual diseases. So this is how this French author used biology. Those who study biology, the genetic DNA theory, you will know. Sometimes the genetic, like you say, you may not be like your father, you may be like your grandpa or grandparent. You inherit those type of genes. Then one thing really true, my mother's generation and my father's generation, we got 9 brothers and sisters, 6 boys, 3 girls. This generation onward, hardly find any boy. You know. I got a lot of brother or girl. You know. Got 1, 3 daughter. Got 1 brother, 2 daughter. Got another brother, also 2 daughter. Then I am more fortunate. I got 1 boy, 1 girl. There's all a lot of, until my mother say, why all zhabo ping on? Is it all born female? Yes. Their generation, they like boy. They believe in every family must have a boy to carry the family name. So all this, but I look at it, I knew it's DNA. DNA. So you cannot say, oh, my parents give birth to a lot of boy, less girl, so chances you will get boy more. No, it's the other way around. Then there's another family, very strange. He said his earlier family got 9 girls, 1 boy. 9 girls, 1 boy. And that one also try until number 10 also go and try, then got 1 boy, stop. Then the children thought sure girl already. Then a few of their sisters all boy one, hardly find any girl one. That's why they say the random DNA depend on, you see, not what you think on. You cannot say, oh, my parents show this tendency, then our generation will also have this type of tendency. No, not necessary. But a lot to do with karma. Because for my case, my 2 children, they are meant to be. they have condition for this type of parents. So they will just appear. And a lot of things, when you understand the Dhamma, you will understand how you are born into your family, and why your parents are like that, why you are like that, why your brother and sister are like that. You will know them very clearly. Yeah, I look back, I saw that day my brothers and sister came in last week. There were conditions. So I explained to them all these things. Then only they start to understand. I say everyone is different. Everyone is very unique. Okay, we read on. So intricate is the nature of this doctrine of karma and rebirth. Whereas we came, whither we go, and when we go, we know not. The fact that we must go, we know for certain. This one is the usual English. Not easy to understand. So they used to say, death is a certainty. Life is? You always say uncertain. To me, life is already very, very clearly written. It's not uncertain. It's very clearly written because of the nature's law. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. So if you don't know your karma, then you cannot understand anything. Understand? But if you know your karma, life is very certain. Understand? Like my nature, I know. My nature is different. When I come, I know a lot of things is going to happen. And when I was very young, I already knew my nature different. I'm different. A lot of things. And my life is like very blessed. Everything like go my way, and it's turn out to be so beautiful. Like I used to say, even if allow me to plan, I cannot plan such good life, such great life. This one no need to plan on, everything fall into place on. Oh, it just fall into place. Yeah. That's why a lot of people who don't have the understanding, they say life is uncertain. I keep quiet. To me, life is very certain. Then sometimes you can see the karmic conditioning coming, the sign, everything coming. That's why you must have wisdom. With wisdom, you can accord and flow, and you know what to do. You know how to act according to wisdom. And you know how to manifest accordingly your form and mind. Otherwise, you use your memory, your thought, your conditioning, your belief system. That's why Krishnamurti is very wise. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. That is not the way to act. You need wisdom. And wisdom is understanding. You must understand the three spiritual law, even the scientific law. That's why this life is very strange. When my nature came, it already knew what it wanted. I like science, mathematics, geography, and technical things. Then, especially engineering. I knew engineering can make a big difference to a lot of things, to the world. And it allowed me, my form and mind, to understand many, many things. Because as an engineer, it's really different. And you can contribute towards the society, towards humanity, and towards the world in a very big way. So not only technically, scientifically, but spiritually also. That's why every life you come, you can have the condition to be a blessing to all. You have great parami. Then you will have beautiful karmic inheritance. Your karmic nature, your spiritual nature will be very beautiful. And they are there for you. Like the Bodhisattva vow. You need to perfect all virtue. Cultivate and perfect all virtue where you need them in time of tribulation, when you have problem or situation, not to say problem. You need all the support from all these virtue, blessings, merits. That's how you can invoke power, merits, power, blessings. Okay, we still got half an hour. We read on. Our cherished possession, our, what is this word? K-I-T-H, huh? Our kit and kin. What is the difference between kit and kin? Kins, I know. Kins are your relatives. K-I-T-H is what? Check the Google. Is it friends? K-I-T-H. Meaning of K-I-T-H. Don't have meaning. Yeah, friends must be. Friends and relative. But he used very powerful English word. Our friends and relative follow us not. Nay, not even our physical body, which we call ours. Or our own. From element they came, to element they return. Now they use the right word. Empty fame and vain glory vanish in thin air. So when your entity erased, everything ceased to be. Alone we wander in this tempestuous toys, sea of samsara. What is the meaning of this word? W-A-F-T. Vesh hither and thither, or miss drifting around by our own karma, appearing here as an animal or human being, and there perchance as a god or devas or brahmins. We meet and part, and yet we may meet again incognito. For For seldom do we find a being who in the course of our wandering has not at one time been our father, mother, sister, or son, or daughter. So we are all related, huh? Because of the countless birth mothers and all. Sometimes I'm your parent, sometimes you are my parent or grandparent. If a man, says the Buddha, were to prune out the grasses, sticks, boats and twigs in this India and collecting them together, should make a pile, lying them in a 4-inch stack, saying for each, "This is my mother, this is my mother's mother, the grass stick, broad twigs in India would be used up, ended, but not the mother of that man's mother." So it's an analogy to show you that you have been born so many times. You got so many mother until the whole India, you cut all the twit. Everyone is your mother also. Not enough twit to come. You got more mother than the twit. So closely bound are we during the journey in samsara. The countless lives we have led and the innumerable suffering we were subject to in the infinite past are such that the Buddha remarked, this one is interesting. The bones of a single person wandering in samsara would be a canyon, a pile, a heap as mountain Vipula. Were there a collector of this bone, and were the collection not destroyed? Long time have you suffered the death of father, mother, son, daughter, brother and sister, and while you were thus suffering, you would have wept or shed tears upon this long way, more than the water in the full ocean. One lifetime, how much tears can you shed? For you to shed 4 ocean of tears, so means you really have enough suffering. Lamentation. Long time did your blood flow by the losses of your head, while your head been chopped off. When you were born as ox, buffalo, ram, goat, etc. Then long time have you been caught as, what is it, dakuta, or highwayman, or adulterer. And through your being beheaded. Verily, more blood has flowed upon this long way than there is water in the four oceans. That is how long we have existed in samsara. And thus have you for a long time undergone suffering, undergone torment, undergone misfortune, and feel the graveyard full, verily long enough to be dissatisfied with every form of existence, long enough to turn away and free yourself from them all. So this is how they put it to make it clear for you. But the problem is what? You can never remember, understand? Every lie you come, you forgot. That's why you cannot have the continuous memory. If you have the continuous memory, like you say, you will have surrender. No more tears. Suffer for so long, eons and eons and eons, countless birth and death. The only time you can be free of all this is when you have the Dhamma and continuously come as a Bodhisatta. Even the Bodhisatta initially, before they reach the stage 3 of Bohemian development, certain period before they are connected, they still suffer. Like the Buddha, before he enlightened underneath the Bodhi tree, he also grew out as a human being, although he have good life, because he was born a prince, and he has all the good condition. But as a human being, that 6 years of cultivation, he went through a lot of tough time, self-mortification. He was also rejected by the fire setting. And he also had to go through a lot of difficult time. Because before you connect, it's like that. Even Eckhart Tolle also, he know. Because people ask him, after this, will you come back? He say, I will come back, is it? Because it's worth coming back, is it? Even though I know for the first 20, 30 years, because he also get connected quite early. He said, you must be prepared to go through that first period of 20, 30 years before you connect. That time he went into depression. Then also he has some problem with life. So a lot of this thing, if you don't have the understanding, you may not understand what this thing is. But you don't worry. If you go this way, your life is a very beautiful one. Yeah, everything is already like properly laid out for you. Already, you have the wisdom to pre-plan all this. You know how to develop the aspiration, the vow. Then you know how to choose to come. Under what condition, like this life, the nature will know. Where I choose the parent, then I choose to come after World War II. Then I choose to come when the education system is in proper place. That's why World War II was 1939 to 40 something. I came 10 years later, 54. So during that time, not too bad. I see the old and the new. Where I was born in the 50s. So the 50 and 6 until 66 years old, I supposed to go to school, Standard 1. 1960, I was in Standard 1. I remember that 5-6 years, my brain empty. Clear. I very cute one. And I got no problem. Until that, before I went to school, they transferred me back to Alostar. At that time, I kena roja inside that notorious suburb. Then my father decided to come back there. He bought a shop lot there. He wanted to settle down there. So, because of that, I went through that phase. Then, I started to see the 60s, the 70s. That I was still studying, and I was very lucky because when I was born, actually, my father say I brought a lot of blessing and luck to the family. My father, I told you, sell the lottery ticket. Then strike second prize at that time, social welfare, Singapore, very big. So the commission was 5,000. That time, 5,000 is big money. And my father shared with a shop owner who asked him to sell. That shop owner was a relative. My father's senior, I think two generations more senior than my father. Actually, my father's grandfather's generation, but he was very kind. He supported my grandfather. He supported my father when they came over from China. They live in this Nimong Tebao, the medical shop there also, Nimong Tebao. And I met their younger generation. Well, later on, they came and visit us. Then my father introduced them to me. I call him by Sok Kong. Very, very, their generation is much higher. So what happened was, at that time, 1 cent can buy thing, my father told me. And he bought that shop lot, 200 ringgit only. at that time. So 2005 is a lot of money, that time, a lot of money. Then, because of that, I got good education. He sent me to the best school, some more English school. I'm the only one sent to English school. Then, everything was like meant to be, so that's how I grew up. Then, the courses I take also same. I like maths, science, geography. Then I did very well after that. Initially, I was the last in the class, but I don't know the language. But the moment I know the language, I did very well. So a lot of things just happened. And this nature, like my father knew, because he know how to read Tong Su, and he also get hold of a very famous fortune teller to like find out about all the children. They want to know their potential. And of all the nine, that fortune teller told him, he said, your second son, he will bring honor to your family. He is very, very different. Then my father checked the Tong Su, he weighed all the bone, mine is the heaviest. The rest all far behind my weight. My weight is very near the high end. The heaviest is 7.2. Chitneoji. Mine is 5.9, almost 6. So a lot of funny things happened. It's like my father knew I am different. And he liked me a lot. Everything he consulted me. Even when I was very young. And they don't. So don't worry about life when you have the Dhamma. So you will not have problem. That is what I want to share with you. So the secret of life is very important. When you have the Dhamma, you will understand the secret of life. Then you will know how to live life. Then to me, life is very clear, very predictable. Everything is just the way it is, meant to be, will be. Then not so real, not what you think. Okay, I have finished. I have covered the whole chapter. So do you all have any question? Or anybody want to contribute any sharing? Put up your hand. The mic is here. Or any topic for discussion, questions and other things. We have to be more active, understand? Ask whatever you want to ask. Yes, tell me. Luckily, you got Tammy. Thursday class got NG.
Good evening. The reason I want to ask is about the five spiritual faculties.
Yes.
Then we know sada, like faith, having the eye.
Correct, yes.
Viriya, got effort.
Yes.
Sati, mindfulness, samadhi, and panya, wisdom.
Yeah.
I just, maybe Swadhyo can elaborate about wisdom, how can we identify like wisdom?
Wisdom is the spiritual faculty that will arise naturally when your sati and samadhi is there. Understand? When sati and samadhi is there. So a lot of people don't understand the five spiritual faculty. You see, saddha, faith in the Buddha and his teaching, through knowing who the Buddha is, how unique a being he is. He is not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened. That's why your faith in him is very strong. Then his teaching is so unique, it can bring about transformation, enlightenment here and now, so that we can free our mind, free our life from suffering. We will never suffer again, no more suffering, no more unhappiness or misery. So all this will give us the faith to arise, the virya. We see the importance of this teaching. We see the beauty of this Buddha Dhamma. That's why we will have the virya. The faith will drive us to cultivate. Then when we cultivate, sati is the first thing that you must cultivate. Because the Buddha, in many places, stress on heedfulness. Heedfulness is to be ever mindful, constantly meditative. So to be ever mindful, you need to train your mind to be mindful. That's why sati is number one. So once you train your mind to be very, very stable, the mindfulness, then you stabilize it to be ever mindful, then it will accumulate into samadhi. Samadhi is a collectedness of mind, unwavering mind, But it's a free mind. It's not in concentration. It's not a conditioned state. That is where a lot of people don't understand. So when your sati becomes so stable, it touches the silent mind. Understand? You realize the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind, or paucity. Your paucity is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. When there is no more thought, there is your true mind. There is paucity. When that one stabilizes and becomes unwavering, collected, that is samadhi. Samadhi as a free mind, not in concentration. That type of samadhi is different. That type is samatha samadhi or apana samadhi. You go into absorption samadhi, focus concentration samadhi. They got three types of samadhi. The first one is kanika samadhi. That one is too weak, not strong enough. Kanika they always refer to as moment to moment. Understand? Yeah? Then upachara samadhi. You heard of upachara samadhi? Huh? Excess concentration. Before you go into apana samadhi, that is upachara. Means before you enter the absorption or fixation of mind. But it's still a free mind, upachara samadhi. That is what the Buddha, when he was a prince, very young, in the harvesting festival, he meditated underneath the fruit tree. Then he levitated in first jhana. And that is the one. First jhana, you got the five jhanic factor, vitaka vichara. There is still applied thought and sustained thought. Means the thought is there, yeah, but it doesn't move. Where it applied and it stay there, sustained. Yeah. Then you have piti, joy. Yeah. Then the next one is sukhang, the blissfulness. Then final one, ekagata, one-pointedness. So samadhi, if you go through the upachara samadhi, you don't go into apana samadhi, then it will accumulate and become the real samadhi. That's why sati and samadhi can allow you to see things as they are and you can awaken. So that one is bhavana maya panya, the four foundation of mindfulness, the direct see. Understand? Whereas the initial wisdom is listening to the Dhamma, then reflect, contemplate and inquire. That one is the first turning wisdom and second turning sutamaya panya leading to chintamaya panya. So these two types of panya initially must be developed first through reflecting on the five daily contemplation, the essential Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths, the three turning, everything. So that one you develop already, you prepare the base to receive truth, the awakening one, the very penetrative truth through the third turning. That one you need to meditate through the silent mind. And the silent mind, without thought, will awaken. When you have enough base to support you to receive this type of truth, then through whether first, second, or third turning, it will trigger off. It can just happen. Yeah. So wisdom will arise when your sati and samadhi is developed. That's why the continuous mindfulness must be there. Sati sampajana. Yeah. So before sati sampajana, avijja sutta say, you must listen to the Dhamma. Remember? Dhamma friend, listen to the Dhamma. Then develop the faith, which you all have ready. Then after that, first turning, second turning, wisdom, give rise to initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. After that, only your mind will not stir like before. Because when you have straightened your view with the initial wisdom, you understand. Then this one will come out and prompt you. Like this body go the way of nature. So you will not worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. Well, you know this is not you. Go the way of nature. So this understanding will straight away come out. You will not lament. You will not worry. You do what you have to do. You will act according to understanding and wisdom. That's why you are different. Then the fourth daily contemplation also same, separation. You will understand them all. Then when it happens, you will not lament. You will not develop the delusion, the attachment, and go through all the craving, attachment, leading to suffering. It will not happen to you. So because of that, your mind doesn't stir like before. So sensual desire, you will less. More and more moment of peace. More and more moment of awareness. Space between thought. That's why your daily mindfulness can come about. Then when your daily mindfulness come about, sati sambhajana, when it's so stable, it can give you sense restraint. Means your senses are all restrained. You cannot stir your mind anymore. You cannot get angry anymore. Understand? You cannot do things deludedly anymore, heedlessly anymore. Because you have the initial wisdom, then you have the mindfulness to give right to sense restraint. So a person who has sense restraint cannot do evil. You are at least a sutapana already. Then after that, the three way of right conduct means right speech, right action, right thought, automatic. Because when you are in that state, you have sense restraint, you cannot do negative, you can only do the wholesomeness. That's why the three way of right conduct will be automatically there. After that, you will have overcome covetousness and grief. That's why you can cultivate four foundation of mindfulness. Then you will realize at least anagami, if not arahantship. So the five spiritual faculty, when it comes to panya, you need to go back to the first, second turning. That's why listening to the Dhamma is very important. Reflect, contemplate, inquire. Then develop the stability or understanding. Means whatever you have heard, you stabilize it through reflection, contemplation and inquiry. Then after that, you assimilate it. You assimilate into your nature. Means stabilize the understanding. This is first, second turning wisdom. Once this one is there, your daily mindfulness will come. Yeah. That's why all the formal meditation at the retreat is to train your mind to develop this pasati. Whatever you do, anapanasati or rising warrior, until this mind becomes very subtle, or still until it enters sati, means it has developed pasati, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. So with that, your sati sampajana will come. Because when mind enters sati, everything you do is in sati. Your seeing is in sati. Hearing is in sati. Smell, taste, tactile or thought consciousness is all in sati. Even when you observe things, it's like the phenomena and the awareness move as one. When people walking, that's why I told you, you can be like inside his body. The fried kway teow guy, I like inside him doing all the movement. That's why this is kaya nupasana, internally and externally. Where you can be part of the phenomena. That's why I come out with the word specific phenomena awareness. The moving car. You don't look at the car anymore. The awareness and that thing move as one. Then you look at the tree, the movement, the sway, everything. You're like your nature is with it. Then when you see things as they are, not the name, not the words, not the concept, like this microphone or what. You see exactly. Then when you see exactly that thing, without words on. But you need to live life. So you need to perceive, you need to use word, you need to communicate. And that one is different. That one is living life, you need to use thought. But when you cultivate, you no need to use thought. You're just aware. And your awareness is so different. That's why after my nature transform, especially the Bandit Michael, I look at things so different. I say, how come last time I never see all this? All of a sudden I start to see them. That's why I come out with that statement. I say, for those who see, they always see. Because if you don't have the ability to see, it means your sati sambhajana not there yet. Your silent mind is not there yet. You are seeing with your thought, your memory, your views, your opinion, your conditioning. You don't see things as they are. Because your views, opinion and conditioning come in and interfere with what you see. That's why this microphone, straight away the word come out and you will not see this law. So a lot of things, when you think a lot, when you are heedless, you cannot be mindful, you cannot be aware. That's why you have to slow down your thinking. Anchor your awareness to your body, kaya. 10:30, exactly. So I answer your question, huh? Sadhu. So let us rejoice, huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, today on the thought. So let us share merit. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana etta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya itang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo deo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kami la samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa divana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect to all the worthy ones, huh? Then we end.